Call the House Transportation Committee meeting to order, and it is about 6 minutes after 1:00. And the following House members are present: Representative Lynn, Representative Feige, Vice Chair Representative Isaacson, and Representative Gaddis, and myself, Representative Wilson. And I'd like to recognize our staff today. Nancy Hemingway is our House Recording Secretary, and Clara over here is our LIO monitor. And my committee aide is Becky Rooney. And before we start, if you would turn your phones to airplane mode, we would sure appreciate it.
I don't even have it.
And or else turn them off. And today we're going to hear House Bill 314, Passenger Vehicle Rental Tax. And Jane Pearson, her boss, is in Finance Committee?
Yes, ma'am.
And so we'll excuse him. And Jane, if you want to proceed, and this is the first time we've heard this bill, so if you want to just go ahead and give us your testimony.
Madam Chair, members of the House Transportation Committee, my name is Jane Pearson, staff to Representative Steve Thompson, and thank you for hearing House Bill 314. In 2003, the legislature passed the original vehicle rental tax, which was intended to raise revenue from tourists using the state's road and road systems. For the first 9 years of the passenger vehicle rental tax, the Department of Revenue did not apply the tax to Alaskan companies engaged in the long-term leasing of heavy vehicles to other Alaskan businesses. In 2013, however, the Department of Revenue began attempting to collect the passenger vehicle rental tax from Alaskan businesses who do not rent to tourists, but through long-term leases, mostly of heavier vehicles, rent to other Alaskan businesses. Moreover, instead of announcing its new position and applying it prospectively, Department of Revenue has sought to apply the rental vehicle tax retroactively to 2004. It is unreasonable to require businesses to pay a 10% passenger vehicle tax on all leases for the past 9 years. These taxes were not collected from clients, and this action may actually bankrupt a few small Alaska companies. HB 271 was the original bill passed in the 23rd legislature. The sponsor statement stated, "The passenger vehicle rental tax was aimed at passenger or recreational vehicles rented by tourists due to the extra wear and tear that the vehicles put on state roads, and the tax would also help to fund tourism." Therefore, the sponsor statement concludes, "The new passenger vehicle tax would bring in money to assist with funding road maintenance, making sure that those who benefit from state services would contribute to support those services." Unfortunately, the passage of HB 271 had some unexpected consequences, and the section of law has been amended 3 times to further define its intent. In 2004, a bill was passed to exclude taxi cabs from the passenger vehicle rental tax. In 2006, a bill was passed to exempt rental trucks. The sponsor opined that the bill ensures that the tax applies more specifically to the intended target of visitors renting passenger vehicles and recreational vehicles, rather than the unintended target of Alaska businesses and citizens who rely on truck rentals for the continued flow of commerce and movement of household goods. The same statement can also be applied to House Bill 314 and the long-term leasing of vehicles to businesses. In 2013, the legislature again amended the passenger vehicle rental tax to exclude motorcycles. House Bill 314 once again brings the intent of the passenger vehicle rental tax and its interpretation of AS 4352-010 back before the legislature. Specifically, HB 314 accomplishes 4 things. It reduces the lease term exemption from 90 days to 30 days, and that is basically if you had a hotel room when it would become a residence and when you stop paying taxes. It reduces from 8,500 pounds to 6,500 pounds the gross vehicle weight so that Alaska businesses engaged in commercial rentals are not being taxed. This would be your your half-ton and your three-quarter-ton trucks. Also, it makes the clarification that the section's exemption applies to the transports of any goods, whether for commercial or private uses. Lastly, HB 314 makes these changes retroactively to 2004. so as to reflect the original intent of the legislature that the vehicle rental tax would apply to short-term rentals to tourists and not to Alaska businesses renting to other Alaska businesses. The bill is needed because Department of Revenue is attempting to collect 9 years of back taxes, interest and penalties from many different Alaskan companies who are never intended to be taxed in the first place, but due to Department of Revenue's new interpretation and application are now having to pay this tax. And online, I think there are some people who might be available for testimony that will help answer a lot of questions. And with that being said, I would like to ask your support for the bill on behalf of Representative Thompson and thank the committee.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jane. Do we have any questions from the committee? Representative Gaddis.
Through the chair, I couldn't help but while listening, thinking we're going back to 2004. I mean, how onerous for businesses right from the get-go, whether or not the tax was right or wrong. I'm kind of horrified that we as the state of Alaska are doing that, regardless of whatever the tax is. So I guess I want to make that statement. Secondly, as I'm listening to this rental situation, recognizing that we addressed this last year in regards to motorcycles, since we're sitting here again, is there anything else we haven't discussed? I mean, can we just get it done now?
Representative Gaddis through the chair. Representative Thompson shared in your indignation about going back to 2004. I think that's a far, far reach. As far as unintended consequences, I believe this probably would take it back to just rental cars. However, our unintended consequences never cease to amaze me in this building.
Follow-up.
So I guess one more question. To the best of your knowledge, you're not aware and the bill sponsor is not aware of anything else at this time.
Representative Gaddis through the chair, no or not.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Joanna Bales is on online for questions, and Joanna, this is the chairman of the committee, and I would like to ask you a question. Are you there, Joanna?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair.
Can you kind of explain the situation and what made you guys think that, did everybody just forget about it and then all at once figured out, oh, that's the way the state can make some more money? Or can you kind of go into that a little bit for us?
For the record, my name is Joanna Bales. I'm the Deputy Director of the Tax Division. Madam Chair, I would have to respectfully disagree with the bill sponsor in that this is a new interpretation by the Department of Revenue. Since the inception of the vehicle rental tax, we actually do conduct what we call compliance activities every year, where we look for companies that are not complying with any of our tax types. And so for the vehicle rental tax specifically, we would look for business licensing, go through phone books. I mean, those are the kinds of things we do. We also respond to complaints from other businesses that are paying a specific tax and don't feel like their competitor is paying that tax. And like I said, and we've done that since 2004. And looking back on legislative history, I mean, it was intended by the legislature when this tax was enacted. There was acknowledgement that about 20% of Alaskans would pay this tax. So, this is not a new interpretation for us. This is compliance activity, and the fact that some of these companies were not discovered by us earlier on does not indicate a new position by the department. So we have with other tax programs, specifically I can give you an example. Back in 2006 or 7, we did discover that a significant number of miners weren't paying their mining license tax, and we did a large compliance project to bring them into compliance. And actually, we will work with companies once we contact them to come forward. We generally don't go back a full 10 years. We generally work with them to collect the last 5 years of revenue. So that's, I mean, there are some things that we do, and we'll work with taxpayers.
Okay, when you found that they hadn't been complying, did you send out how do you do that? Do you send out letters to them, or did you just send them a bill without any warning, or?
No. Yeah, Madam Chair, our process is we identify what we believe, you know, companies that we believe may be conducting taxable activity. We send them a letter to let them know that basically they're on our radar, and we would like to open dialogue with them to discuss whether or not they actually are subject to the tax. And we usually then, once just realize that a taxpayer is responsible to pay the tax, like I said, we'll sit down with them and go back, and like I said, generally it's 5 years, and have them file the reports and the returns that are required. In often cases, the other thing that we do is we will waive penalties, and we have the ability to waive penalties under an agreement with the AG's office, and because mainly what we're trying to do is bring companies into compliance. So we certainly do not send a bill out right away. There's usually no we try to contact at least 3 times before other avenues are pursued.
Okay. Now, so this time you say you usually do that. So is that what happened this time? When they responded, did you get in touch with them to find out if how much this would be, and would how hard would, why, I guess I want to say, is how come you decided this time for 9 years where in the past you usually do it only for 5 years? And what was it?
Madam Chair, the specifics of, I think what we're doing now is maybe wandering into an area of confidential taxpayer information. I'm just trying to provide you an understanding of what we do of an overview. We do have taxpayers that completely ignore us after we try to contact them several times. And then we do at that point, especially when complaints continue to be filed with us, we will then look at other means of bringing taxpayers into compliance.
Okay, we have some other questions. Representative Gaddis.
And this is along the same lines. And I guess what I'm really asking is, I would assume that you have access to the business license, the corporate license. So you certainly have a pretty good idea of those renting rental cars. And so, I don't know how to say this without it sounding somewhat rude, and I don't mean it that way, but you kind of danced around the subject whether or not you did, in fact, send notifications that if I own a rental car agency, I would assume that I would have a notification that said, you own a rental car agency, you've paid no tax, do you owe tax or not? Here's the form you need to fill out and sign stating you do or don't. So I'm really asking a little bit more concrete question. Did you send out this documentation or not?
Through the chair, Representative Gaddis, for every business that had a business license that indicated they were a vehicle rental company, yes, we did send out the notice. If we have businesses that don't indicate that that's what their business is on their business license, we have no idea unless we receive complaints from other entities or use other means to discover what their business activity is. But for all those companies that had a business license with that type of business disclosed, we did send out letters and forms to them.
Follow-up? And you sent out letters since 2004, is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Gaddis, yes, we did, since 2004, and then we do it ongoing as new businesses show up in the business licensing data.
Thank you.
So just let me make sure. So do they get one every year, or when you say you do it three times before you kind of plunge in. Did you do it the first 3 years and then just step? How does that work? During this time,
Madam Chair, we look at sending out, we will try to send out a letter to a new business. We'll check the business license database annually, and if there are new companies on there, we will send them a letter letting them know what their responsibilities are under the law.
Okay, and so then what you do is you set, when they come on as a new business, you send them a thing and say, do you owe us taxes? And then they say yes or no, and then if they say yes, then you assume they'll follow up and pay, and if they say no, then you kind of try to check it out a little bit further?
Yes, that's correct. That's what we do. And in some cases, we get absolutely no response from the businesses that we send letters to. So we'll send an additional letter. And in some cases, we will get responses that don't seem entirely correct, especially in cases of complaints. And so then we'll follow up. And we might even ask for some additional information up front to make a determination as to whether or not the person should be collecting the tax.
Okay, thank you. Representative Isaacson has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, a couple of questions, if I could. Following the same line, municipal experience where we collected taxes, it was voluntary compliance. However, there were times when we had to send out auditors. And I understand and I appreciate the fact that you are mentioning that you're trying to give businesses benefit of the doubt, as it were, and give them the ability to comply. What I am curious about, though, is are your regulations specific enough then, because you want to be equitable, you want to make sure that if one company is paying, all companies are paying, but when you said, well, sometimes it's policing within the industry and someone tattles on the other that they may not be paying, then you go do these compliance activities, I believe was your phrase. So do you have regulations in place that tell you, okay, after so many notifications or after so many years, you're going to turn it over to the Department of Law or, the troopers or whatever? How do you go about making sure that you don't have a situation where you have a lapse of years and then a penalty that might be unable to be met? And the other part of that question would be, I understood that there was a multi-year gap in even promulgating the letters, maybe because you were putting out regulations, if I could wrap that into the main question.
Through the chair, Representative Isaacson, I mean, as far as your first question, when we have situations where taxpayers, potential taxpayers, either ignore us or they provide information that we're skeptical about, we actually have a criminal investigations unit within the department that we refer cases to, and they will do some investigation on our behalf to see if the business that's being conducted rises to the level of where they, you know, we do have a taxpayer that we need to bring into compliance. That would be, you know, for your first question. I mean, as far as the second question, we did send letters out in 2004 when the original, well, actually, I think it was in 2003 because the effective date of the vehicle rental tax was January 1, 2004, to all known vehicle rental companies based on their business licensing documents. And then, as I said, we try to update that every year to look for new businesses. That's our standard, you know, our procedure. If we are working on some other types of activities, we might miss that in any given year, but generally speaking, you know, we try to keep up on that. And we do follow through on every single complaint that we get. Because as you stated, I mean, I mean, just for me personally, looking at my job, I have two jobs as a tax administrator. The first and most important one is that I am to protect state revenues. The second one is that my job is also to ensure that any of these tax programs that we administer are done fairly, so that all taxpayers, especially those that are complying, you know, are represented fairly and treated fairly by the department.
Okay, follow-up, Representative Vizes, then.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the answer. Let me ask in a little bit different way as well. How do companies report? Is it electronic? Is it handwritten? Is it in a spreadsheet? How do they report and how do they collect? How often does this activity occur? Is it monthly? Is it annually?
Through the Chair, Representative Isaacson, we do have a form. They are required to complete and submit with us quarterly. So at the end of the first quarter of a given calendar year, which would run from January 1 through March 31st, they are required to file a return and remit the tax that they collected from the consumer by the last day of the following month. So it would be April 30th in that case. And so we have forms and instructions on our website. For our vehicle rental tax, they also have the option of filing electronically online. They can, all of our taxpayers can also pay electronically online.
Thank you. And just one more.
Follow up.
Thank you. So what percentage of these rental companies do you feel are not paying? How much has not been collected? How onerous will this burden be if we don't do what this bill is providing for?
Through the Chair, Representative Isaacson, I guess I'm a little confused of your question. If we don't do what the bill, if we don't do the retroactivity, is that what you're
talking about? Well, if we don't protect from retroactivity, through the Chair. My understanding of this bill is that we're going to basically create a clean ledger. We're going to say everything's forgiven. Everyone better get their act together. Maybe we should come down with a heavy hand if you don't. But right now, we're forgiving all. That's my understanding.
Yeah, through the Chair, Representative Isaacson, this bill would forgive the tax for anyone who did not remit it, because basically there wouldn't be a tax for specific types of rentals. And it would also require us to refund taxes paid to the ultimate taxpayer for taxes that we have already collected for the previous 10 years. So that would be a fairly hefty undertaking for the Department of Revenue, because unlike a lot of other taxes, I mean, like an income tax is on the corporation who earn the income. The vehicle rental tax is on the taxes on the end consumer, just like a sales tax would be. So we would have to refund every individual who rented a car over the last 10 years that meets the, if any of those rentals are now exempt under this proposed legislation.
Joanna, could you fax me that form that they have to fill out so I can pass it out to the committee? Are you in a position that you could do that right now?
Madam Chair, I can either fax it or email it, whichever one. Email is actually faster.
Okay, email.
But I can fax it. Do you have a fax number there?
Yeah, but go ahead and email it. That would be fine.
Okay, and to your email address?
Yeah, to my office.
Okay.
Do you know what that
is? And you'd like me to do that right now?
If you can. I mean, or is there somebody there that can do it for you? Or I don't know what if you're by yourself or in your office or what.
Yes, I am in my office. I do have access to my computer. I can do that.
Okay, that would be great. And we've got some people that would like to testify, but I think Representative Gaddis has a question that she has.
Well, my question was going to talk about, granted, there are folks who didn't pay clearly we've discussed those who did pay and how onerous, truly onerous, that would be to return that money back to those renters. But anyway, that was going to be my question about those who did pay. I think it was answered.
Okay. Representative Feige.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know you have a record of who has paid the tax, and then obviously the retroactivity requires that you pay it back to the people that it was originally collected from. But do you have any way of determining if the tax was actually collected in the first place? Looking at the sponsor statement, it seems that there was not a lot of emphasis by the Department of Revenue to collect that tax for the first 9 years that this tax was in effect. Did businesses take that to mean that it didn't apply to them and simply didn't collect the tax, therefore didn't have it to pass on? Or is it a case where they actually collected the tax and just kept the money?
Through the chair, Representative Feige, with some of our investigations that we have conducted, we've actually found both. We have seen some rental car companies that have collected the tax and simply didn't remit it to us. We've come across other companies that simply didn't charge the tax at all, so that would be true. They didn't collect it, therefore they didn't have the money to remit to us. However, I mean, the statutes do indicate that they are required to collect the tax. And the majority of those companies that we have reached out to over the years were actually ones that we had sent letters to, and so they were aware of their responsibility to do that and simply didn't do it. We've seen a combination of things. We have seen some car companies that we didn't contact because they had a business license that indicated they were in some other type of business. It wasn't specific enough to identify them initially. And those are the ones that we do try to work with as much as we can so that the effect of collecting the tax from them is not, it still is a difficult undertaking for those companies, and we do understand that. But at the same time, we have to try to be as fair as possible across the board for all taxpayers.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Seeing no other questions, I'm going to move to public testimony, and we'll go online. John Cook from Fairbanks with Airport Equipment Rentals. Are you there, John?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me know if I need to adjust my volume, please. I'd like to thank you and the committee members. Again, my name is John Cook. I'm Chief Financial Officer for Airport Equipment Rentals based out of Fairbanks, Alaska. I'd like to thank you and the committee members for allowing me the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 314. Airport Equipment is a Fairbanks-based, family-owned business employing 125 people with locations in Dead Horse, Fairbanks, Delta Junction, Anchorage, and Kenai. We are the John Deere Construction Equipment Dealer for Alaska, and we are also the largest equipment rental company in Alaska, and we represent a variety of manufacturers in addition to John Deere. Primarily as a customer service, we offer incidental rental of pickup trucks to our construction equipment customers, primarily to the producers and Alaska contractors operating on the North Slope. Most of our rentals are several months and often years in duration. Our primary line of business is the equipment rental business. Out of 5,000 rental units, approximately 150 of those are trucks. I, too, have familiarity with this tax and its entire legislative history, as our company has owned the National Alamo Car Rental Concession at the Fairbanks Airport through May of 2013. Further, prior to my employment at Airport Equipment, I worked at a car dealership which had rental car operations, so I'm a reformed car dealer, which is how many of you know me, and again, I have history back to 2003 with this tax. Representative Thompson's office spoke that to the effect that the original intent of the rental car tax was to tax short-term rentals to tourists. And again, over the years, there have been a number of exemptions granted to relieve unintended consequences of the legislation as it was implemented. With regard to recent retroactive reinterpretation of the statutes by the Department of Revenue, you know, there's several of these that have been you know, seen, I guess, over the last several months that are contrary to the legislator's intent, specifically with regard to long-term rentals of pickup trucks between Alaskan businesses and primarily on the North Slope. As our company had continues to pay the rental tax, I was made aware of these recent developments by some of our competitors, many of which you'll hear from today. And I'd also state that I do have the utmost respect for Ms. Bales, the Department of Revenue, and its employees, and understand that they're only trying to do their job and protect the interests of the state. However, some of their interpretations regarding the statutes are concerning. If this legislation is not passed, there's a strong possibility that several Alaskan companies, and not all of them small companies, may have to declare bankruptcy. Frankly, and for our company, the truck rental business is a low-margin business to begin with, and if for nothing else but selfish reasons alone, we don't want to see our competitors put out of business. It'd mean that we'd actually have to buy more pickup trucks, which is something that we're not very keen on doing. One of the reasons that that there has been a delay in certain businesses being notified throughout the state is, again, the rental vehicle is business to them as a secondary line of business. They're construction companies or equipment rental companies like ours, and the rental business is very secondary. Some of the major concerns that we have that this legislation would clarify or correct are as follows. Leases over 90 days are currently exempt from the tax. However, many companies will often extend the lease for several additional months beyond that initial term. Department of Revenue's interpretation is that any extension over the stated term of the contract is a month-to-month event that is a taxable event, which would mean you could have a two-year rental, but if you only have a six-month contract, DOR's position is that additional year and a half is a taxable event. The department is apparently acknowledging its position is contrary to the legislative intent, as it has recently issued regs to correct this problem. However, my understanding from other businesses is that the department is still seeking back taxes from certain businesses back to 2004. The statute also currently exempts trucks with a gross vehicle weight rating over 8,500 pounds used to primarily transport personal property. Again, I'm familiar with this exemption. It was meant to apply to U-Haul vehicles. However, personal property is not defined for purposes of this section. Our company pays personal property taxes in three municipal jurisdictions. Each of these jurisdictions would define not only the truck as personal property, but any of the contents that it's carrying. Accordingly, I would assert that trucks over 8,500 pounds are already exempt from the tax. As mentioned, the bill would also lower the GVW from 8,500 to 6,500 pounds to ensure that half, three-quarter ton, and one-ton trucks are all rented. And again, these are trucks that are being rented from one Alaska business to the next. One of the last points I'd like to make specifically with regard to North Slope rentals is that AS 43.52.099 subsection 2 defines a passenger vehicle as a motor vehicle that is driven on a highway or a public right-of-way. As many of you are aware, once you get to the Hall Road and turn right or left, the North Slope road system is on private property and is a private road maintained by the producers. As a matter of fact, the producers even ask us every now and again to help chip in equipment and fuel to help maintain the road system. So, again, I would assert that any rentals that occur on the North Slope, this is another reason I believe that they would be exempt from this tax. We believe this bill, again, clarifies the original intent of the legislature, which was clearly not to tax Alaska businesses running to other businesses. For that reason, we believe retroactive application is appropriate. We would ask for your support for this bill. I would thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Isaacson. Thanks, John, and Representative Isaacson has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. John, thanks for your testimony. It's pretty complete. I have a question on the retroactivity. We have a fiscal note here that says that perhaps an unintended consequence of this bill would mean that we would have to pay $793 for 2 years in a row.
$793,000,
correct, yeah. So that's a lot of dough. Now, how you mentioned that if we don't do this, some businesses would go and have to file bankruptcy. One of the questions would be, is it fair that these companies not pay a due tax if other companies had to? And the unintended consequence then is if we protect all and make a level playing field, that the state then has to pick up $1.5 million. Help me understand this.
Through the chair, Representative Isaacson, that's an excellent question. Frankly, we're one of the companies that's probably paid a little more than we have, but I guess I'd remind you of a couple things here. One is that to the extent the department is intending to retroactively collect this tax, the businesses that they assert were responsible for paying for it, there's nobody to go back to. You know, there's no customers that they can go back to and say, well, guys, you owe us 10% on the rental. Pay up. I mean, these businesses are going to have to pay that out of their own cash flow. To the extent that there are refunds that are paid by the state, and again, I just saw the fiscal note this morning, and I would defer to Ms. Bales on this matter, but it is my understanding, we file these forms, the department does not have a specific record of the actual individuals that paid the tax. So we remit a gross sum to the department. The companies, rental car companies and the equipment leasing companies, are the ones who have knowledge of the individuals that paid that tax. Certainly, you know, again, and I need Ms. Bales to explain the logistics of how this would work, but there would be no incentive for our company to go back and determine who we could refund that tax to dating back to 10 years. I mean, honestly, our records retention policy, we're required to keep records for 6 years. Many of those records we don't even have. So from a practical standpoint, unless those individual businesses or consumers apply for that refund and can provide proof of payment to the department that they paid that tax, I think the fiscal note might be a little heavy. I know it certainly is not a process that our company will be embarking upon because, again, there's zero financial interest. That money must be remitted to the taxpayer.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I have to say that I think it's the first time I've heard anyone want to keep his competitors around. Usually it's just the opposite. So are there any other questions? Representative Gaddis.
Well, as I sit here thinking about the return of this money, and I think about the businesses in good faith that did collect it and tried very hard to stay abreast of what was going on, whether or not they got a letter yearly or an invoice yearly, I guess I'm not a lawyer, I don't know legally, but I got to tell you, if we're going to, I like to reward people that live by the letter of the law. I'm not exactly sure how we could do that legally, but if we've got those funds out there, we're thinking of retroactiving, how we give them back to the businesses who did pay. It's certainly not fair for those who did not pay. And I guess I'm struggling with the fact that those who did the right thing have an opportunity to be rewarded. I don't know legally how that can work, but
John, did you get letters saying that you owed, or did you just get one and right away you said, "Oh, we have to pay this," and just start paying it?
Again, Madam Chair, we have been since we own the National Alamo concession, we had paid the tax and continued to pay the tax. However, again, you know, politics make strange bedfellows. I've been, you know, we were actually contacted by our competitors to see if we had been contacted by DOR. Indeed, we had not, but I've been made privy to several letters that were sent to certain Alaskan construction companies and equipment leasing companies. Those letters were sent out in November of 2013. And to my knowledge, the earliest I'm aware of any equipment leasing company being contacted is 2010. So, you know, but the bulk were November of 2013, and I've seen those letters myself. And again, one point to Representative Gaddis, I understand your concern about, you know, rewarding businesses that have done the right thing, but again, you know, it's the consumer and the business, you know, that the end user. It's not the companies, you know, that are being sent these letters that we're talking about. It's the people that actually pay the tax. So I want to make that distinction that the businesses that did or didn't pay it, you know, aren't profiting. The only time a business could profit from not paying this tax is if they withheld the tax from the consumer and didn't remit it to Department of Revenue.
John, so if you paid the tax all along and then you rented it out to the next company and they have to pay a tax, then that's paying it two times, right, on the same vehicle?
No, they would go ahead. What would happen is we would collect the tax from them. We charge them the tax, and we remit it to the department.
I see. Okay. Any other questions? All right. Tom Pelgrim from Nikiski.
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you for taking the time to hear this bill. I'm Tom Pelgrim, the Cook Inlet Area Manager with Peak Oil Field Service in Nikiski. We currently employ close to 500 people here on the peninsula with the latest surge of the oil and gas industry taking off. And I kind of got brought into the loop on this bill via email through several of our competitors. And I think it's a good opportunity to clean up some old legislation. It will do nothing but help the industry. I appreciate everybody's time, and there's been a lot of great input there. And I don't know what else to tell you, but I appreciate you taking the time to look at this.
Thank you very much, Tom. Do you guys pay?
We got a notice here maybe a year ago. I mean, we rent things from cranes down to lawnmowers. A small incidental fleet of pickup trucks that fall into this classification, and you know, it'd just be tough to manage on our part at this point to go back 9 years and unravel an F-150 pickup that we may have rented in 2005 to someone.
Right.
Just some old legislation. I think that you guys are doing the right thing. It'll be good for the industry. I'd hate to see some people go under over some pickup trucks.
Right. Thank you very much, Tom. Any questions?
Thank you so much.
Seeing no questions, we'll go on to Randy Johnson in Ketchikan.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the House Transportation Committee. I appreciate this opportunity to testify and support of House Bill 314. Out of courtesy for your time, I'll attempt to keep my comments brief and avoid repeating earlier testimony. My name is Randy Johnson. I'm a 33-year resident of Ketchikan and am the owner of Tyler Rental Incorporated. Tyler Rental has been in business for 25 years and operates from five locations in southeast Alaska. I currently employ 58 Alaskans. Tyler Rental's core business is focused on rental of tools and equipment to construction, timber, and mining industries. Although the majority of our business consists of construction equipment, we do rent half-ton and larger pickups to support contractors' needs throughout southeast Alaska. A low percentage of our pickup rentals are for remote mining operations such as Kendington Mine, which are not on the state highway system. We recently became aware of the referenced rental vehicle tax from another Alaska-based equipment rental company. To my knowledge, Tyler Rental has never received notice of this tax since its inception in 2004, at least not directly from the Department of Revenue. As a result, our company has not collected taxes from its customers. Now that we are aware of this tax, we're in the process of submitting our records for calendar year 2013 to the Department of Revenue, along with our estimated payment for fiscal year 2013. In a good faith effort to comply with the regulation that's currently in place. We'll pay this tax under protest on the basis that our company was never informed of this tax requirement. And this lack of notice, as we see it, also substantiates our support for the retroactivity clause in the reference bill. It's our understanding that most, if not all, rental car companies in the state did receive notice, and I heard that earlier from Ms. Bales, and I'm certain that that's accurate. But we can only surmise that the reason we were not notified was that the state did not initially intend to apply this tax in our circumstance, or perhaps the state did not fully understand the nature of pickup rentals for the construction-related a business in Alaska, that activity actually is handled by equipment rental companies. So I can see where their confusion and oversight, maybe it's not confusion, but just oversight of our segment of the business industry didn't receive a notification. As a result of learning about this tax, we've investigated the legislative history and intent and believe the legislature did not intend to apply this tax to our type of rental activity. Additionally, the majority of our business is providing equipment and pickup rentals to other Alaska businesses and individuals versus the primary intent behind the tax, which our understanding was to recoup visitor dollars for the use of state roads. And I won't go into too much more detail. John Cook, I think, covered a lot of the explicit aspects of the bill, but I do want to thank you for the opportunity to testify and go on record supporting enactment of this bill in its current form. I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone might have.
We do have some questions. Thank you, Randy. And Representative Feige has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Johnson, you're in the equipment rental business, but do you have any, how would you keep track of where these vehicles are operated? I mean, I know you typically rent it to somebody. You maybe kind of know what line of work they're in or what the general use of the vehicle is, but how do you know if it's being operated on the highway system or another public right-of-way?
Through the chair, I'm sorry, is this Representative Isaacson?
Representative Feige.
I'm sorry, my phone has been scratchy here a few times. Yes, in fact, wouldn't always know. Obviously, you know, if we're renting to a contractor that we know is working at one of the mines, Kensington or Greens Creek are the best examples. The reason we know that is we deliver those vehicles to the barge that's taken them directly to the mine. So in that case, we would know where they're going. And typically those are long-term rentals, anywhere from a few months to in some cases, they've been out there more than a year. And when they're returned, they generally don't go to another mine. They generally come back to us. So we would know in that case. In some cases, we do rent to contractors that, one example is we rent inspector pickups to the general contractor who provides those vehicles to a state inspector. In that case, it's, you know, that application is used on a public highway. But, you know, as another example, in that case, if we were to charge the tax, that would just be passed through to the state by the contractor. So I'm not sure the state really gains anything. It's just going to add to the cost of construction. Again, as I see it, you know, the type of vehicle rental that we're in is much more geared towards construction-related and heavier industry-related uses. And I hope that's answered your question. I'll let you respond if you have further questions.
No, thank you, Madam Chair. That's
okay,
good.
Representative Lynn.
I was going to say, I was here in 2004. I believe only myself and Chair Wilson were here at that time. And the purpose of the tax, as was stated, for to catch tourist dollars. We were the only two people here when that happened.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Representative Isaacson has a question.
No longer, even though Representative Feige was misidentified, he had materially the same question.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Randy.
Madam Chair.
We have one more off net, and that is Sam Bryce.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, and members of the House Transportation Committee. Thank you for this opportunity to testify today. My name is Sam Robert Bryce, and I'm the president of Bryce, Inc. here in Fairbanks. We're a 50-year-old Alaskan company owned by the Calista Corporation since 2010. And one of our companies is Bryce Equipment Rentals. We mainly rent heavy equipment and also as part of that some pickups up on the North Slope. And if they're not being rented up on the North Slope to the producers and service companies, our main other client is ourselves on our projects throughout rural Alaska for the most part. Like I said, we're 100% Alaskan business. We were never aware of the attacks or its applicability to our business until we received a letter in November of this year. And we've been renting since 2010, so we've gone back and we're pulling up that information to remit that those taxes. Other than that, in the name of your time, I would just reiterate the previous comments by Mr. Cook and Mr. Johnson. Pretty well applies to our situation as well.
Sam, how many employees do you have?
We are seasonally up and down, but we have a baseline of about 60 employees, and then when the seasons are rolling, we're upwards of 200.
All right, thank you. And do you have any rough idea of how much they expect? I guess I'll put it this way. Did you charge anybody a tax over these years?
No, we were not aware of it, so we've never charged anybody the tax. So this would be completely a retroactive payment on something that we've not collected.
Wow. So do you have any idea how much it could add up to be?
Yeah, we think it's about a little over $30,000, about $31,000 for us going back to 2010.
Wow, okay. Thank you. Any questions for Sam? Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else online that would like to testify? This is the only names I have, but please speak up if there is anyone online. Okay. We have someone in the audience. Let's see. Christopher Slotty?
Yes, Madam Chairman. Peter can go first.
Okay. Come on forward and take a seat and identify yourself and who you're with.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the Transportation House. My name's Ryan.
Pull that mic. There you go.
My name's Ryan Peterkin. I'm from Kenai, Alaska. I own MegTech Alaska that was founded in 2008. I'm a fourth generation Alaskan. My family's owned and operated four generations of Alaskan businesses. My great-grandfather was here in 1916 on the Alaska Railroad. He got into his own business, owned an East Side Dairy, which sold in 1940 to Matanuska Maid Dairy. And we're hoping the Peterkin business legacy can continue on. I'm currently in the equipment rental business, and pickup trucks is a byproduct of the business, primarily as everybody else has spoke. We're an employer of over 75 employees with an average annual salary of $77,000 a year. Alaskan employees putting in about $6 million of labor income into the state of Alaska, including benefits. I have two locations in Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. That's where 90% of our rental revenues come from, and about 10% in Prudhoe Bay, and about the same ratio of 90% of our income comes from oil and gas producing companies, and about 10% from construction companies. But we do not rent to the general public. or we rent to no one without a commercial insurance policy. I'm here to support 314 House Bill. I first learned about it on November 6th. We had an enforcement officer and James Kurth, who was a criminal investigator, which was armed, that showed up into our dead horse facility. And I don't know for a fact that James was armed, but there was an armed enforcement officer with him. We had never received a letter at that point in time, and they were there to see if we were charging for the rental taxes, primarily below 90 days on a term on it. He left us with explicit instructions to contact Jonathan Page, who was an auditing agent in Anchorage, which I left him a message that night. We contacted Mr. Page the following day, set up conference calls with our CFO, trying to figure out what the tax was about, seeing how we could implement it. We read through what was available to us online. It was very confusing, a lot of different interpretations of the 8500 GVWR with personal properties versus U-Haul. We couldn't figure that out. We didn't know how we could actually implement that, even if we could use our 8,500-pound GVWRs and be able to legitimately track it within a system. I mean, you would manually be having to track every single rental as it comes and goes, and the same with the rollover. And so most of our companies, they come in, they get a truck, they're major oil companies, and it goes out. It isn't on a long-term lease, for say, but we have multi-year contracts with these companies, and they bring them in and bring them back as they need them. And it's a service that we provide. In our rates, we build in maintained rates and non-maintained rates, so it's convoluted of what's actually the rental, because we do services, tires. It'd be impossible for us to really track it, but we were able to implement this to the best of our interpretation of working with the Department of Revenue within a couple weeks' time. I don't know that we're 100% accurate on it. We're capturing everything we can. We faced massive kickback from our customers. None of the oil and gas companies on the Kenai Peninsula, and I believe we have a master service agreement with every one of them in Prudhoe Bay, had ever heard of the tax, nor would they pay the tax. And it created competitive advantages for other companies with us, because no one wants to pay an additional 10% if this guy isn't going to charge him. So we lost quite a bit of business on that. We discussed that with the Department of Revenue. And at one point, they were going to send out a letter to some of the oil and gas companies to try to educate them on it. None of our competition that we spoke to knew about the tax. I truly believe, as we implemented it and as most of the people that have testified have implemented it, when they found out, we never received a letter. We were blindsided on November 6th with it and received a letter a couple weeks later saying that we're going to have to pay this tax. So,
Have you figured out yet how much that means to your company?
Not exactly. We have some, excuse me, to the chair, not exactly. I do not know, but it's a substantial amount of money. We have filed our first quarters, and I believe it was $8,000 for a quarter.
Okay, thank you. Representative Gaddis.
Through the chair, when you, and you may or may not, I mean, I don't know if you have a bookkeeper, or I'm the bookkeeper of our business, so I know this answer for our business. When you fill out your business license, does it say rental anywhere in the name of the business license?
Representative Gatz, through the chair, yes, it does.
And then I have a follow-up to that, because, I fill out my own paperwork. Uh-huh. There are codes that indicate what kind of a business you are, and sometimes you can go down on those codes that indicate you're a rental business and so on and so forth. Do you know, and it's okay if you don't know, if you have also filled out the code that you were a rental business as well?
I could not accurately, through the chair, I couldn't accurately answer that question.
And in fairness, my husband would have a tough time with that, too. But here's where I'm going to come from. We have a code that we fill out. We rent and have rented heavier equipment and rent airplanes. Now, neither of them would fall under this, but I guess I'm saying that it would lead me to believe that if we have this type of situation, let's say in 2004, it wouldn't be that tough to send out a letter to all those who rent and start figuring it out to do it and do this retroactive. I mean, I can't even imagine getting something, and I'll just go on record. I haven't collected the tax for heavy equipment or airplanes, but I certainly don't think that this applies to it. So I just can't even imagine somebody going back 5 or 6 years and running a business through that. And I guess I sit here in belief that this company did not know, and I guess we go back to our earlier conversation, if letters were sent, I would like to ask the administration if they have documentation who they sent the letters to, and specifically, did they send it to your company year after year? Anyway, thank you. I'm sorry. I'm feeling like it could happen to me. I'm feeling your pain, so thank you.
Go ahead.
We have never received the letter. I'm quite certain of that. Further, I don't believe that most of our competitors had recently, or I don't know what form it came in. We received a certified letter in roughly the second week in November in 2013, mm-hmm. so we were certain that we did receive it at that point. To make this retroactive, it would be detrimental to our business, and we would have to seek financial aid at best to be able to recover mm-hmm. from getting blindsided with growing with the industry of where our business is today. This is a hit to us on a tax that was uncollected. It's off of the gross rental, and the 10% of the gross rental on this, our net profit isn't, you know, 10%, mm-hmm. And to take a blow like that, I don't think it's justifiable. I don't think the tax was intended for Alaskan businesses doing business, other Alaska businesses. So
we'll see if we can fix something about this. So, Representative Isaacson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate what you just said, Ryan, because it sounds like exactly what Randy was saying. Either the state did not intend to tax this category, or it didn't understand the segment of the business. What I'm trying to figure out, you said, like many others, that you do not rent to the general public. Is that correct?
Representative Isaacson, through the chair, that is correct. We do not rent to the general public.
So if I could ask then, this is supposed to be for passenger vehicles. A passenger vehicle, it says in here, is one that is not used for commercial. By definition, you are renting to companies, therefore it's commercial. So I'm wondering why anyone is getting any letters anyway. There must not be a linguist employed by the state, and why you would be targeted and not your competitors is beyond me. Everyone should have received a letter who had any equipment rental capacity, period. So I feel your pain in that regard. So is it true then that you do not rent non-commercial vehicles, even if they can haul passengers? Did I say that in convoluted? Even though it might be a passenger vehicle, it was intended for commercial use.
Representative Isaacson, through the chair, that is correct. We rent only pickup trucks, and they are only rented to commercial vehicles, never individuals.
And I appreciate that, because you mentioned confusion on this, Madam Chair, page 2 of what we just received. Passenger vehicles means a motor vehicle that is driven or moved on a highway or other public right-of-way in the state. Passenger vehicles do not include commercial vehicles, etc. I'm really baffled by this predicament. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Feige.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to make sure I understand the sort of the nature of the business, you have, did you call them master services agreements?
Representative Feisey, through the chair, yes, okay. Master service agreements.
So you basically have a contract with a company to provide a vehicle for a period of time. It doesn't necessarily have to be the same vehicle. You just, you know, you're basically on contract to provide a pickup. Whether it's pickup number 27 or pickup number 32, you're just providing a pickup. So those individual pickups may come and go as their servicing needs vary, but the contract is to provide a pickup truck, correct? And that period of time is generally greater than 90 days or 30 days, whatever.
Representative through the chair, yes, sir.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much for, I know it's really weird when you come up here and you have to say through the chair and all that. You did great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna bring Joanna Bales back online. Joanna, are you still hanging in there?
Yes, I am.
You've heard the different testimony you know, it's been very confusing for a lot of people. Can you kind of do you have anything that you want to add to this?
Madam Chair, I mean, there are maybe just a couple of clarifying points. You know, tax administration isn't one of the most kindly looked upon professions. As you all know, so, but we do our best to identify people that will be affected by any new taxes or any new changes to tax laws or regulations. So I would agree with the individuals that testified that they more than likely did not get a letter because we did not identify the heavy equipment type businesses as being ones that would rent vehicles that meet the definition of a passenger vehicle in the law. And once we discovered that, it was not a new interpretation by the department, and I'm pretty emphatic about that. Had we been aware of that back in 2004, we would have definitely sent those letters out. And I also want to make it very clear that most of the businesses that have testified here, I mean, those types of companies were discovered by us, not from us, you know, looking online or doing business licensing searches, but it was from complaints from other people. So I just want to point that out. And again, we do our best to notify everyone. I mean, at the same time in 2004 when we sent out letters to everyone who had a business license that said they were a vehicle rental company. We also did public notices as well that were published in the newspaper and published online. So I mean, we do what we can to notify the public of changes. And, you know, there is a certain amount of responsibility, unfortunately, that we put on potential taxpayers as well to be cognizant of things that might affect their businesses going forward. So, I mean, I'd like to point that out. I mean, and as far as the comments, I believe, from Representative Isaacson regarding the definition of a commercial vehicle, the statute is very clear that that definition, it resides in the motor vehicle statutes, the statutes that cover the division of motor vehicles. And it is very clear that that is for vehicles greater than 26,000 pounds. So, you know, and there's a couple of other things, but there's a very clear definition of commercial vehicle. And although with the testimony that you've heard of people saying it's commercial use, that definition of what they're doing is not the definition of commercial vehicle in statute. So I just wanted to clarify that as well. And I'm not sure were there other points or questions that I've missed?
I think maybe you covered that. Do you have any other? I know you have to carry out the statutes that the laws that we put in place. And is there anything in the law that like this that's kind of ridiculous? because we don't want to put a burden on our businesses. I mean, if business doesn't make any money, there's no jobs. We all know that. And so, you know, we don't want to make matters worse for businesses in this state, that's for sure. So if there's anything else that you come across that's kind of like this, that because of and I'm not saying the word
ambiguity.
And yes, in anything, please kind of come to us and let us know so that we can kind of deal with it and at least make it more clear so that there's not people trying to guess. Well, what does it mean? Does it mean it for me? Does it not mean it for me? Whatever. But we do have one more testifier in the room, and that is Christopher Slotty. Slotty, and would you come forward? I can read Old Harbor.
Native Corporation.
I'm the attorney at Atkins and Conway and Gagne Anchors Law Firm. I represent Old Harbor Native Corporation.
Okay, just come forward and put it on the, because that doesn't get on the record unless you speak through the microphone.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Christopher Slotty. I'm an attorney at Atkins and Conway and Gagne. I represent Old Harbor Native Corporation. They're a 51% owner of Delta Leasing, which is an equipment leasing company. I was just here and put my name on the list just in case there were questions that arose as a result of the other testimony. I don't have anything really specific to add beyond what was already presented to the.
Okay. Representative Gaddis has a question.
Were you sent a letter?
Old Harbor Native Corporation?
Yes.
Old Harbor Native Corporation would not have sent a letter.
Let me back up. Were you sent a letter from the Department of Revenue in regards to owing a tax?
I can only talk to Old Harbor Native Corporation. They're not a. They're not a leasing company. I'm working on.
Okay, so
they own Delta Leasing, and I can't really comment about Delta Leasing.
Okay, I was in regards to Delta Leasing. I was just curious. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Do you have? Well, sit back down. I have a question for you. do you have any suggestions? Is this bill going to be adequate, or do you think we should make some tweaks to it, or what do you think?
I think it's adequate, Ms. Chairman. The main issue that we saw, that I saw kind of legally, was that the original statute says that rentals in excess of 90 days were exempt from the statute. And then that was in 2003, and the Department of Revenue adopted a regulation that said, all right, so rentals in excess of 90 days are excluded, but if you have we don't count renewals or extensions of a lease in calculating the 90 days. So, for example, let's say you had a company that rented, and I think Mr. Cook references, you had a company that had a six-month lease, and the term of the lease was 6 months, and then it reverted to a month-to-month lease because you're running to an oil company, it's on the North Slope, they just take it and they just keep it. So the first 6 months would not be taxable, plainly. And then they never return the truck, but they just keep on leasing for another 2 years. So it's out for a total of 2 years, never return to the leasing company. But under the DOR's regulation that they adopted in 2003, every month after that first six-month term is a taxable event, even though it's never returned. And I really saw that was kind of the biggest kind of problem we saw. And notably, the Department of Revenue is adopting or proposing a new regulation that does away with that, that counts the renewals and extensions. But in terms of their enforcement action, the threats that we've been made aware of is that they're relying on an old regulation to go back to 2004, even though they're kind of realizing that there was a problem with the regulation.
Thank you. Representative Isaacson.
Thank you. Well, Christopher, now I do have a question. Because you mentioned that these oil companies were using these vehicles and then being charged, I take it, month to month after the initial 6 months. Was that, you said that they were not returning the vehicles, so that was not inducing them to necessarily rent from out of state, though, or were they? Would they, would, XYZ oil company just decide to go to Seattle and rent a vehicle and bring it up because it wouldn't be charged a monthly rate, I assume?
If they were starting charging the rate, then perhaps. I don't think they would have been at the time because they would not have been, they weren't being charged the tax. Because if you look at the statute, I think the view was is that if they have the car for the truck for 2 years, that's more than 90 days. It shouldn't be taxable. And they weren't being charged the tax. And I do know a lot of, from what I've been told, is that oil companies, a lot of times, they do like to have like a 30-day cancellation provision, or they like to go month to month, even though they're going to keep it for 2 years, because they like to have the flexibility to say, well, we don't need it anymore.
Okay.
And in those cases, if they keep it for 2 years, even if it's a month-to-month lease, it's still a rental of more than 90 days.
Yeah, I do think that if, I understand. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify? Having heard none, I'm going to close public testimony. And any more discussion with the committee? Representative Feige.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, we certainly raised a number of issues regarding this. I guess I'm looking at two different things. One is refunds that would go back retroactively to the original customers who paid the tax, and then the tax was passed through. It's certainly somewhat problematic to go all the way back to 2004, because Mr. Cook mentioned, you know, a lot of companies don't keep records after 6 or 7 years just because they're, A, not required to, and, B, it's a liability. So it's somewhat problematic to make the period of retroactivity on refunds go all the way back to 2004. Now, the taxes that are collected or should have been collected, I think there should be a burden of proof on the Department of Revenue to prove that those companies knew, in fact, that they had to collect the tax, because obviously there was a lot of misunderstanding. You know, the tax, I mean, it is, you guys knew what the intent was when you worked, you know, voted for the bill or not voted for the bill. But you knew what the intent was, and it's pretty clear that the intent was primarily directed at taxing tourism type operations as opposed to equipment leasing type operations. So I think it's a burden on the Department of Revenue to prove that a company was notified. And you know, obviously, if they've got a certified letter receipt, that seems to me would be adequate proof. Because it was, you know, however it was interpreted, it was a law on the books at the time. I think the one thing that perhaps the law and one thing that the bill doesn't address, and I would sort of direct this towards the sponsor, many companies have master services agreements that's a fairly common industrial contract to provide all kinds of situations. So either we can try to figure out how to include MSA contract situations in the bill, or simply write an exclusion that just takes them out, because, or make it so that it has to be an MSA in excess of 30 days, which I don't know of any that are that short anyway. The other thing that's somewhat problematic here. You mentioned companies, the fellow from Ketchikan, that rents to, you know, mostly mines and places where the vehicle is used off the highway system. I think we should have something in the bill that exempts, because the way I read the under the definition of a passenger vehicle, on page 1, line 12 of the bill, that is driven or moved on a highway or other public right-of-way in the state. Well, that can include simply moving the vehicle to the place where the renter is actually using the vehicle, whether that is on a mine site or on an oil field or something like that. You could theoretically interpret the law such that simply because you drove it along the highway system to its actual place of use, that it would be subject to the tax. And I don't think that's the intent of the tax. So those four things, in addition to the conceptual amendment, which I've also given to the sponsor, if that could be addressed in a CS for our next go around, I think those would be worthwhile points to look at.
Okay. Any Representative Gaddis?
Along the same lines, Representative Feige, as he put in and discussed the exemptions. And it's just food for thought for the bill sponsor, and I really haven't really formulated it, but rather than process through all the things that are exempt, maybe go backwards and say who's not exempt. And, you know, I don't know. It's just basically the car rental companies, and I don't know how to do that, but I can think of potential other exemptions that this bill was never intended, and its true intentions were for the for the tourists, for folks from out of town to help pay for some of the things that we put together for tourists as a state of Alaska. So I'm just trying to figure out how we have these unintended consequences as we go. And I'd hate to be here as long as Representative Lynn and go backwards and say, hold it, why didn't we fix that then? So, I don't know the answer, but I do understand the intention.
Well,
thank you.
And I have a question. It says, but it does not include, with all the does not includes, on page, that starts on page one, and then it goes on to D, a recreational vehicle. Well, some recreation vehicles are tourist-oriented. So, I don't know, we need to look at that, I think, if we're going to say only rental car agencies, because what about somebody that comes up here and rents a motor home?
Madam Chair, there is a 3% rental tax on motorhomes and recreational vehicles.
Okay, great. Oh, and so, but just this particular tax doesn't. I think it would be easier to say.
Madam Chair.
Yes,
I really haven't formulated, but I know that there in the bill it indicated that about 20% of the revenues was expected to become from Alaskan residents and that unintended consequences. But, I'm seeing the motorhomes, and there's a reason people call them land yachts or whatever on the road. But I've got no problem with them paying their fair share, but I will tell you, when I had out-of-town family or what, I wouldn't mind showing my driver's license or residence or whatever and be able to be exempt. And I know that when I go to Seattle, I don't have to pay Nordstrom's a tax because I get to show my driver's license. I don't know how that would work into it, but it's a thought.
But I can just see everybody that comes up here saying, hey, can I use you as my friend so that I don't have to pay the tax? And that's another thing with the 30 days. Even the car rental people, I can see them. If there's a way to get around a law, people find it, And so I think we need to think of these things. I think what I will do is hold this bill over, and we need to work on it a little bit. And I don't know how long you think you need to. Next Tuesday, we have I think we're full on next Tuesday, aren't we? And Thursday. Now, we aren't this Thursday, but do you think you could pull something together by then?
Madam Chair, I certainly can try. I think Ledge Legal has opened up a little bit after yesterday's deadline. So.
Okay. All right. We will just leave it. It's a bill that we've already heard, so we shouldn't have to put it on the docket. And so if you can get it done by then, that would be great. If you can't, I'll cancel the meeting because we don't have anything right now going. So will you work on it and let us know?
Madam Chair, I will let your staff know as soon as possible. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anything else that anyone would like to bring up at this point in time? All right. No. And I will close our meeting for today. Thank you.